Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Chapter 2, notice something kind of I'd never really noticed before. The creation story is spelt out again in chapter 1 and then again in chapter 2. Chapter 2 verse 4 says, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, that they were created in a day and that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth." In chapter 1, God creates the plants. Verse 11 says, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to their kind on the earth." But then again in chapter 2, verse 9, "And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." God created the earth, the plants, the animals that we eat, and it is important for us to be thankful. And that's why we do this at harvest. Funny, I was thinking I asked Adrian, is it okay to walk around? But then it's actually good the microphone's not, because I could have kicked that whole kind of pile of cans over. It's important for us to be thankful. In chapter 1, God makes human beings. In verse 27, he says, "Male and female, he created them." Then in chapter 2, God created man as a living being in verse 7. So the fact that God is creator is so important that it's mentioned twice in Genesis, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Creation is so important that God tells the story twice. So that was the first two chapters. And then I turned to Revelation and the last two chapters. As Chris Wright said, we often don't put these things together. Revelation 21, verse 1. "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." And then verse 5. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Then chapter 22 of Revelation talks about the Garden of Eden again. Verses 1 to 5, Eden is restored. There is the river, the tree of life. There are crops and fruit. God will live with his people, and there will be no more curse. When we understand the good news of the Bible is framed by creation and recreation, it actually can give us a new perspective. So in this journey, I was beginning to understand that creation and the environment are part of God's heart for the earth. They are all key parts of the mission of God's people. I went on to learn about things I call the five marks of mission. I'm not going into that too much, but they talk about sharing the good news and making disciples, baptizing people, fighting injustice and poverty. And the fifth one is about caring for God's creation. And Chris Wright opened this new area for me. But we really haven't been doing a very good job of caring for the planet, as we know. And this leads us to the next point, to crisis. You know, almost every day on the news, we hear about the climate and ecological crisis. I have an environmental background, and here are some figures that I've learnt in recent years. We have lost 80% of the world's forests. In Northern Ireland, some farmland birds, like the tree sparrow, have declined by 90% since 1970. In some parts of Europe and other parts of the world, flying insects have declined by 75%. It is the insects that pollinate the crops, the fruit, the vegetables that we eat. So on this harvest day, let's give thanks for some insects too. Soils have degraded so fast that they reckon we have only 50 harvests left. As well as losing biodiversity, we have the pollution of the planet. Greenhouse gases are causing global warming and fueling the climate crisis. Oceans we see on TV, full of plastic waste and so on. You know, even though I have a bit of an environmental background, I realized when it came to the climate crisis, I needed to know more. More about the science and more about the theology of creation. So I began to read. I began to read articles and books about climate change. I needed to educate myself. I read books on the theology of creation. A great one is N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, Bishop Tom Wright, who speaks about this creation and new creation. So if you want to dive deeper into that, Tom Wright and Chris Wright, two excellent people to read. And as I read this stuff, the Holy Spirit began to fan a flame within me. I opened the Bible and familiar verses began to leap out with new meaning. Take Romans chapter 8. Romans, if you imagine the Bible like a landscape, right? Romans has been described as like a mountain range of truth. And when you get to chapter 8, it's like the core gospel truth. It's like the highest mountain in that mountain range. This book spells it out plainly about sin, redemption, and how new life is found in Jesus Christ. It says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and that new life comes through the Holy Spirit within us when we turn to Christ. Chapter 8 also goes on to say this in verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. These verses speak of the crisis on earth today around us. How will earth be set free from this bondage and corruption? Well, actually, verse 19 tells us. It says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The children of God, all of us who know and love Jesus, are called to help the earth in crisis, to help to set the earth free from pollution, decay, and bondage, in the same way that we're called to go and make disciples, to set people free from the bondage of sin. We're called to help set the earth free from bondage of pollution, decay, and so on. Let me tell you about another significant moment in my journey of discovery in this area. Just grab a glass of water here, one sec. Back in 2013, this is the story of Joshua Cator. Here's a picture of him. Joshua lives in the Philippines. And in 2013, the strongest ever hurricane to make landfall, Typhoon Haiyan, a Category 5 hurricane, devastated his town and country. Over 7,000 people were killed. 2 million people were made homeless. When the storm surge came, Joshua was washed away, clinging to his father. But the force of the water separated the two of them, and he was lost his grip, and he was on his own. He ended up washed away over a mile from home. When the surge eventually went down, he found his way through the devastation back to his home. He found his father alive, but sadly his mother and sister had died. This tragedy made people realize that storms were getting worse as we pollute the planet, and that devastating storms impact on some of the world's poorest the hardest. It was this story, this photograph, that took that flame and fanned it to a burning passion within me. A passion for justice for the poor. I asked myself, do I really care? Do I care about these poor people who are suffering as a result of climate crisis? Do I care enough to do something? This brings us to the third point, to care. You know, the first command that God gave to people was to care. Again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, and to take care of it. God's heart for the earth is for us to care for creation. As Tom Wright says, Jesus is coming, plant a tree. Looking after creation is part of God's work. Sometimes when we think of climate change, you might imagine the picture of the polar bear on the little iceberg that's sort of melting. You know what I mean? It's a very familiar image. But what struck me whenever I saw this is that climate change isn't just about polar bears, although of course it is. It's also about people. It's about the poor who are suffering. Another verse that began to ring more clearly in my mind was Proverbs 31, verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of the poor and the destitute. We can speak up for people like Joshua Katzer and his family. We can get involved with campaigns through agencies like Christian Aid or Tear Fund and similar groups who run to campaigns to support the people in greatest need and to call for change. We can get onto their news lists and hear stories of hope and change. We can be an advocate for the poor of society, far away and at home, those who suffer the most. Let us care for creation and care for the poor. In a world of crisis, I think we need to learn to read and to write, to read about what is happening in the world, to understand where we are heading unless we change direction, to read the Bible and what it says about this theology of creation and new creation. And we need to learn to write, to be an advocate for change. It was really good to hear the Brownies saying they wrote to their MP. Let us learn to write to our decision makers, to your MP, to your MLA, to our local council. You know, it's amazing how few people can cause things to change. All you need to do is write a letter and then write another one and say, have you responded to my letter? And then write another one. Ring them up. Just be an advocate. You could write to your bank and say, are you investing in fossil fuels? Or are you investing in something that's harming these poor people? Then please stop. You could write to your insurance company to do the same. I decided to write to the Church of Ireland and say, are you investing in fossil fuels? You need to stop. Be an advocate. Speak up for the poor. So firstly, we can speak up. Next, we can dig deep. Whenever you hear of the call for responses to disasters, dig deep. Encourage your friends and family to respond to these appeals. I'm a great believer in the Bishop's Appeal. It's the Church of Ireland's disaster response charity. They funnel monies in through agencies like Christian Aid and Tear Fund directly to those in need. When the church appeals for disaster relief, let us dig deep and give to help those who are in need. Thirdly, we need to act. We need to speak up, we need to dig deep, and then we need to act. I'm sure you've heard it said, I think, therefore I am. As Christians, we need to say, I believe, therefore I act. What were Jesus' last words to his disciples? He said to go into all the world and to make disciples. He said, go and make. What the disciples did in fulfilling this mission is recorded in the book after the four Gospels. What is it? Acts. It's the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Today, we need to write another book of Acts. We need to take action as a church and as individuals. We need to write the story of how we take action. I believe that churches can lead society and how we must change. Think about what you can do. It's wonderful to see the two young girls from Brownies talking about the actions that they have taken, you know, encouraging you. It's really wonderful to see the compostable cups. But imagine if the church only bought a quarter of what they need because all of you start to bring your own cup. And that waste isn't even going into a compostable bin. It just doesn't get wasted at all. Think about what you can do as a church. You have a wonderful forest beside you. You could get in touch with them and say, can we plant trees? You know, if you plant a tree, that tree can grow for hundreds of years. It's the girls and Brownies are fantastic at encouraging us. Let's think about things, what we can do to take action. Then talk about those things to your friends and family. I believe that focusing in on the mission of caring for God's creation is a great chance to reach those beyond the church. This is a big topic for the world and society. If our churches are doing stuff and we share that with other people, we can share what Tear Fund Christian Aid are doing or what we're doing as a church, they will think you have something there. And we can talk about what motivates us. That story of creation and new creation, and share how we too as individuals are created people, but we need to be a new creation as well through Christ, through knowing him. We can talk about the climate and ecological crisis. If we read and understand more about it, you can then be informed and talk about how you can do something and show how you care for creation. So let's speak up. Let's dig deep and let's take action. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your Bible, from beginning to end, is the story of creation and new creation. Lord, you died and you rose again. You are the first fruits of the new creation. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would impress upon each one of us about what we can do to care for your creation and to act for the poor, for justice for them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.